Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget your machete as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
Antarctica. I think that's just...
Antarctica.
I'm just going to smush it together like a
Antarctica.
Good Midwestern.
It's boy. Antarctica.
Antarctica.
All right. This is Monsteropolis, a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined, as always, by my pal, Mark Matzke.
Hey, hey. How's it going?
Good. And we're together this week. Last week, we were not together because of a freak Ohio storm. But this week... Have you seen this? I can't remember
no.
if I showed you that.
No.
That's the mud that was in the end of the gun barrel.
It's a nice little museum piece.
It is. That's why I keep it sitting here. Tim actually gave me that. Tim Shannon, the one that was...
Did he make the label for the,
yeah, yeah. For listeners, I'm holding up a little plastic tube that has a piece of mud in it between two cotton balls, and there's a label on it that says Momo... Night shoot May 5th to 6th, 2019, and this was actually for a lot of people point this out, but in the end of the movie, when in the end of Momo, when Edgar raises the gun and fires it at Momo to kill him, it is clearly just covered, like lodged with mud, and this is actually the mud that came out of the barrel.
Wow.
So the guy that owned the gun gave me that.
That'll anyway. Be in the STM museum someday.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not going to be in Wadsworth, but it'll be somewhere.
Right. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Yeah. This is a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. We are the official podcast of Small Town Monsters. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined, as always, by my pal, Mark Matzke.
Yes, hi, Seth.
We're going to bulldoze through that.
Yes. We did that already.
Did we?
You're aware of that, are you not? Before we got to the Momo mud stuff,
no.
Yes.
Boy. So brain in 2 minutes, I managed to do that. Wow. So this is a special episode where we're going to talk about Antarctica.
We were having somewhat of a lexical debate before we got started. How do you pronounce this location? And I'm just going to
go with it.
Antarctica.
Antarctica.
Smush it together. Chew it.
For listeners, the stuff announcements we have are the Kickstarter is still going through March 5th. So you've got 14 days as of right now, 13 days when this drops tomorrow. You also have Mysteries and Monsters at the Canton Palace Theater coming up March 21st. And we just announced the schedule. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't read it to you, but the day will start with a screening of Minerva Monster and will also include talks by Shannon LeGros and Lyle Blackburn and screenings of the Flatwoods Monster or the Flatwoods Monster as well, and then we'll also do the world premiere of On the Trail of UFOs. You can go to CantonPalaceTheater.org to get tickets. Tickets for the entire day are just $12, or you can get tickets for just the premiere for $6. There will also be a vendor's room. Slight change to the vendor's lineup. As of right now, it is the Wild and Weird West Virginia guys, the infamous Moth Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast will be there. The Seymour's House of Horrors, Shop of Horrors. I can't remember what the name is. But they do masks that are amazing. It's actually that Mothman mask that's sitting on the shelf behind you was done by them. And then we are also in very early talks with Travis Jay Hill. You may know him as Travis Cartoonist on Facebook, to attend as well. Plus Small Town Monsters, obviously, and Lyle and Shannon will both be there. I don't know if they'll be selling books or not. I would assume so, since they'll both be there and they both have books. I'm assuming they'll also be set up with books. So yeah, you can come for the whole day. We're still working on getting a food vendor in. Regardless, there are really good restaurants right downtown. In fact, there's pizza that isn't even a full block away that Jason Udis and I used to go eat at least once a week before we would buy comic books when we were kids. It's really good. Really good, really bad pizza, if that makes sense. Really good, bad pizza.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Really greasy, but really good. So yeah, you need to attend that if you're not planning on it. But yeah, let's get into the topic of this week's show, Antarctica.
Antarctica.
I can't say it now. It's going to drive
it's
me.
It's in your head.
It's in my head, and I'm not going to be able to get out of my own head. And I don't know what to say about this topic. It feeds into last week's episode,
right?
Which I'm curious to hear what you mean, because I tried to look up connections between the two and couldn't really find any. So I'm excited for you to educate me on this. My only familiarity with Antarctica in terms of like conspiracies and stuff, it relates back to, well, there's two, and they are kind of connected, but the one is that there were secret Nazi connections to that location. And this isn't really it's not really a theory, because there actually was a Nazi base, at least one Nazi base that they were aware of, if I'm not mistaken. And I watched a video about it today. This is how I know it's true, because I watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
That said that they're based, the reason they were based, they had a base in Antarctica, was actually to monitor the weather. Do you know about this?
No, I don't know enough detail. This is a classic case of you scratch the surface and there's a realization that it's just so far weirder than you would ever imagine. So I'm just getting my resources together.
I'm going to talk about this, and then if a listener can correct me if I'm wrong, that's fine. But what I could at least ascertain in my minimal amount of research time is that there was a secret Nazi base there. The American, during World War II, we kept intercepting transmissions that were coming from that part of the globe. And they didn't look into it because there were other things to worry about. They left to go, and it was years later before they found the ruins of this base. And there were remains that clearly meant that it was a Nazi base. It wasn't anything insane. It was just radio transceivers and things like that. There were a few hand grenades that were of Nazi origin there. Hmm. And so anyway, that was what they found, was that the Nazis were stationed there, and they were doing it to keep track of the weather, so they could order their boats to skirt around the weather.
Hmm.
Yeah. And of course, while the Nazis were there, they met an alien from another planet who began secretly disguising itself as various members of the Nazi team, one by one, picking them off. And it all ended with Kurt Russell, who was a Nazi. You never would have thought of that.
Yeah, talk about deep cover. That's pretty.
Can we just turn this into a show about The Thing?
Yeah. Well, in some ways, you kind of do when you start looking at what all the conspiracy theories are around this.
Enlighten me on this, because the only other one I'm aware of is that there's like Antarctica has that was the worst yet. I think that I included a G in that pronunciation. Antarctica. There's this theory that it's the gateway to like the center of the earth, or a doorway, or there's an entrance to the center of the earth, like Arthur Conan Doyle's Lost World style.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can, yeah, begin your education.
Oh, gee. Well,
Seth Breedlove.
Just on the surface, it's a fascinating place. I have some science-y facts to share, if you would like to hear those. And they do have some pertinence here as well. Antarctica. The thing that really struck me about it was that To start with, there is a mountain range called the Gambertsevs.
The what?
The Gambertsev mountain range.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That it stretches across the entire interior of Antarctica, 750 miles long, mm-hmm. and there are peaks of like 9,000 feet.
Okay.
Problem is that there's ice covering all of that.
It's like that's the
15,750 feet of ice, so that's nowhere near the peaks of the mountains. So it's this crazy sort of, and they only know that they're there because of ground penetrating radar and being able to, you know, detect those mountains that way.
Wow.
There's also Lake Vostok, which is a freshwater lake 2.5 miles under the ice. They estimate that it's about the size of Lake Ontario and just a freshwater lake under the ice layer.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out, which leads to many other questions in my mind. Like, well, if that's true, then what else is under the ice? You know, are there trees and valleys and stuff like that? I mean, it seems to suggest that. And I was looking at another thing that said there's this ice shelf that they detected. It's rapidly melting. And the reason why is that there's a space underneath it the size of Manhattan. So the warmer air is getting underneath there, leading to, you know, greater melt rates and so forth. But everything is just on this massive scale. And just from a purely scientific and just geological standpoint, it's an amazing place and fascinating. There's a active volcano on Antarctica called Mount Erebus.
Okay.
Which is the southernmost active volcano in the world. And being a devotee of the name game, I looked up what does Erebus mean, and it's rooted in Greek mythology. Erebus was a primordial deity of darkness and shadow.
Nice.
So
it's Mount Doom, essentially.
It is, yeah, exactly. It is Mount Doom on this ice planet,
so basically. Listeners, I'm a moron, okay? So this episode will fully demonstrate to you that I'm a moron. And I know there's listeners who already believe I'm a moron anyway. So this is just reinforcing your opinion. But you're talking about like a lake under... Is there a sort of a... Are we to believe then that there is... How does this work? Like, that's what I want to know. Because I hear about this a lot.
Yeah.
So are we to believe that underneath the layer somewhere, there's actually like... An environment down there?
Yeah, or? Between where the ice stops and the ground starts, there's some type of...
No.
Yeah, some type of frigid environment where there's freshwater lakes all over the place. There's...
okay, so you didn't mean it's like a frozen lake. It's
no.
Like, okay.
Yeah, it's actual freshwater. There, oddly, the... creature that you find the most on the surface are worms.
Okay.
There's some type of Antarctic worm that's the most prevalent life form that you would find there. And again, that's all underneath this prodigious ice layer. It's crazy. And I think that helps, you know, it gives some shades of meaning to the people who are insistent on the hollow earth theory or like there's layers underneath. Well, there are. I mean, then there's ice tunnels the height of the Eiffel Tower, they said.
What does that mean?
That just go down. They're like...
Oh, so you can go inside and go down X amount of space. How much time have people spent in Antarctica trying to get answers to any of that? Are there expeditions to try to learn more?
Well,
Frequent basis?
Yeah, and what I saw, and this is just, again... Surface level stuff, no conspiracy whatsoever. There's 30 countries, I think, that operate 80 plus research centers on the surface and, you know, drilling into the ice and doing all sorts of experiments. I don't know what the nature of all of those are, but, and that is when you get into the conspiratorial end of things, you know, what people will generally say is that all of those scientists there are just, it's fronts. Those are actually all military masquerading as science, you know, scientists because of various treaties that have been signed to keep Antarctica sort of free territory.
I don't want to get into any of your points before you can naturally segue, but like, why would they be keeping Antarctica secret? Like, what's there?
Oh my goodness.
Well, open the door.
Yeah. That ultimately, you know, I'm going to rely on the work of Dr. Michael Sala. Mm-hmm. And he has a book called Antarctica's Hidden History, which was published in 2018. And to my surprise, there are abundant free copies available online.
Nice.
Just in PDF form. Yeah. So,
well, they're trying to educate.
Now.
Oh, good. Trying to educate you.
Right. So, like you said, a lot of these conspiracy theories originate with the Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. To various levels of detail, including and probably most popularly, that not only were there bases of Nazis there, but it is sort of the launching point for the Fourth Reich.
Right.
So that what's happening is deep underground in Antarctica, there's bases, secret bases that, depending who you talk to, are either just straight Nazi bases, cooperative bases with either United States and the Nazi Fourth Reich.
Ooh, wow.
and or extraterrestrial races whose civilizations lie buried deep beneath the ice. And there's been up to 3 gigantic motherships that have been sighted by eyewitnesses who have gone on the record as having seen these things. And we get very deeply, very quickly into like Nephilim.
Ooh, yeah.
Biblical prophecy type conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. So it has everything. I mean, these stories have everything. Last week when we were talking about Flat Earth, I think I made some comment to the effect that Flat Earth has everything. But yeah,
this is
that multiplied,
yeah,
you know, exponentially. It's amazing how quickly this becomes the conspiracy of all conspiracies. It explains, it attempts explanations at everything, including the UFO flaps of the 50s, okay, the 40s and 50s in the United States.
Can you break it down?
Yes, I will attempt to.
I want to know. Because I watched a little bit. Most of my knowledge of Antarctica's connection to aliens comes from my few times watching Ancient Aliens, the TV show, mm-hmm, that I happen to own 6 seasons of on Amazon. So I'm aware that Antarctica shows up frequently in this stuff, but there's something to do with Atlantis, right?
Yes.
Isn't there an Atlantis connection
too? There is an alleged Atlantis connection,
yes,
for sure.
Can you talk about that one first? Or is that just part of this larger?
Yeah, it is oddly as sort of formative as you would think that would be. It's just a side trail to the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
I know, but so let's start here. I mean, the handoff point last time, you know, I did mention that Antarctica figures into flat earth theory as well as just this whole other full-blown massive conspiracy. And the handoff point is that if I'm grappling to understand flat earth theory, my understanding is that Antarctica is essentially a circular ice wall that is the mechanism that keeps the oceans in place. I mean, if we're thinking of flat earth as a flat disk, then something has to keep the water in. And Antarctica is that, you know, it's the edge of the pool, so to speak. And it's also then the place where the dome begins.
Mm-hmm.
So that what's alleged in sort of the, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the fringier aspects of flat earth is that there are places in the wall that you could presumably go through to discover whatever else is on the other side.
Hmm.
And not much flat earth stuff, I think, attempts an answer at that. It doesn't seem that concerned. But that's where they will, you know, some of the flat earth proponents will start talking about that as a jumping off point for like in the 40s, there was Operation High Jump.
Yes.
And partially what's alleged there, depending on who's talking, is some say they ran into the flying craft, mm-hmm, that the Nazis and extraterrestrials had partnered on.
Ooh.
And that chased them away.
Okay.
The other one is that they literally ran into the wall. you know, they lost planes in the into the dome, and that was too much for them to consider. So they realized that they had to do some sort of study on what is it, you know, what did we find that caused those crashes? And so that to me is then just a weird but obvious segue point into those type of Antarctic theories, and then the deeper sort of Nazi extraterrestrial crossovers that you rather quickly get into. So, you know, to back into it, as of late, and by that I'd mean, you know, 2018, 2019, Linda Moulton Howe has been a vocal proponent of a couple whistleblowers. One identifies themselves as Spartan One, Navy SEAL, who evidently, by his own recognizance, had to do a mission in Antarctica, was taken into this gigantic under the ice octagonal shaped structure that the interior of it was like a basalt black marble interior with all sorts of hieroglyphics on the walls, reminiscent of, you know, choose one, you know, the Kecksburg craft or Roswell, things of that nature. It's lit by a lime green light emanating from the walls itself, and that he was there, that this thing is 62 acres in size, so it's fairly massive, and that the black sun image of the Nazis figures prominently into the hieroglyphic patterns.
We were talking about that song.
Yeah. And so this has been, then there's been other people, and you'll hear this name a couple times, Corey Good. Who alleges a secret space program who, then 2016 and 2017 saw these secret bases and ancient civilizations that are slowly being unearthed. And so all that is to say, then turning to Michael Sala, I found that the outline of the chapters in his book really do a good job of summarizing the essential theory that we're talking about.
No kidding.
Which begins there, and their propping up of Hitler as the leader of the Nazis.
Okay.
Part and parcel of that is anti-gravity research and development that was happening even pre-World War II. And then you get into this rather sinister allegation of the role of U.S. corporations in Nazi Germany and sort of the weird crossovers that were happening there between U.S. corporations and Hitler's rise to power. This becomes important later on when you talk about corporations investing heavily in Antarctica, and this appears to be a matter of public record. Of course, reading into what might they be doing there, we'll get to that in a little bit. But again, it's Sala's idea that German companies begin operations in Antarctica, that bases were built, as you said, within this completely inhospitable environment, you know, raising questions. If you're of a conspiratorial mindset to begin with, that's a great place to start, because you think here's this part of the world where, you know, the coldest temperatures on record have been recorded, like 120 some degrees below zero and 200 mile an hour winds. How do you build bases there without, you know, some sort of intervention on the part of a technologically advanced?
Wouldn't it make sense to not even publicly have bases there at all? Like, if there was actually a conspiracy, wouldn't it make sense just to build your secret bases under the ice shelf with the other aliens?
Right.
Stay hidden?
Yes. And so the surface bases are, of course, meant to throw people off the scent.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, we were just there monitoring the weather.
Yeah.
Becomes the thing. And that's the same explanation that'd be offered for the scientific research that continues to be done there. That's offered to the public as sort of the reason that we're there and nothing to see, but it's really just to throw people off the scent of what's happening
naturally
deep underground. So German companies begin flying saucer production, and financial foundations for the Fourth Reich and Antarctic development pour in from all over the place, including United States corporations, which is where it gets, you know, rather dirty in this whole thing. This dovetails then, of course, with post-World War II and all the rat trail stuff about Nazis going south into South America and other locations, that it's not, you know, the story that the public is offered to a degree is that they just went to South America as a place to live out the rest of their days. But what they were actually doing is heading further south as a staging area to end up in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that is so fascinating to me about this particular theory and story, this narrative, is that it takes the strands of just about everything and ties them together. Mm-hmm. And it's reminiscent of David Icke in a way.
Yeah, because it takes... It's the trust in neatly tied.
Yeah, it's the grand unified theory, which is
everyone's looking for.
From a storytelling standpoint, I have an odd sort of respect for that.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, they get down there. The operation is in full swing at this point. Operation High Jump encounters Nazis and ET allies. That's Salah's conclusion, that what they found when U.S. forces got there is that Nazis and extraterrestrials were locked and loaded, ready to go. The face-off happened.
Oh, wow, it happened.
They retreated.
Okay. Who retreated?
U.S. did. Okay. They said, we're not going to do that.
Wouldn't it have made sense to just go back with some nukes? Yeah. Right? Like,
blew up Antarctica.
I mean, take it out. Yeah. They're hiding down there.
Yeah. But what's also happening at the same time is stuff like Operation Paperclip, mm-hmm. which is, you know, we're pilfering off some, rocket scientist Nazis for our own.
Yeah, Von Braun and all that. Yeah.
And
you had opinions on UFOs that I've personally seen, weird enough. I don't know if I've even talked to you about
I don't know.
This. My sister, Sarah, is big into like resale. So they buy mm-hmm. collections and things to resell it on eBay. One of the collections she bought was a NASA collection.
Oh.
And it had personal letters and correspondences from Von Braun, Wernher von Braun. And one of them was someone asking him his thoughts on UFOs.
Oh my goodness.
And I have it somewhere. I don't have the actual original, but she took a picture of it. She still has it in her collection, but it's his, Von Braun's, personal thoughts on the UFO mm-hmm. enigma.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Totally random too. Mm-hmm. Like Sarah had no idea when she bought it.
Right.
But it was just like one of the things that stood out to her when she was cataloging everything.
And like the best discoveries generally is when you just fall into something like that.
Yeah.
So here's the twist. Operation Paperclip was actually a front.
Oh.
To begin negotiations.
Oh, with the aliens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Secret negotiations with the Antarctic colony. That Paperclip facilitated that that U.S. could become totally invested in what was happening.
When you're saying aliens, I'm assuming we're talking like the Nordic, because isn't that the theory, is that the Nordic type aliens were in league with the Nazis because that they're technically like the forefathers for the Nazis. And I mean, there actually is a root in reality in that the Nazis believed themselves to be the children of like this greater race, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not mistaken here. And there were people who believed that race was from another world.
Right.
Right.
And here is one of the most fascinating explanatory
statements. Is this the Atlanteans?
Yeah. Okay. There was a prominent psychic human woman who was a German nationalist mm-hmm. and who predicted the rise of Hitler.
Okay.
Was spirited away to Antarctica.
Joyce Brothers.
Who got a bunch of these her directions were followed to a certain degree. And I don't know the level of detail enough to say more than that, but it was her work and the people with her at one of these bases that was sent to people like Eisenhower mm-hmm. and they intentionally portrayed themselves to be Nordic extraterrestrials for the purpose of flamboozling the United States government into entering into these treaties and, you know, formal and informal agreements with alien races, quote unquote, when in fact they were just Aryan German men and women who were playing a role. And Salla concludes that that was an intentional arm of disinformation from this Nazi alien conspiracy group that gave birth to the entire Space Brother movement of the 1950s.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that, he's really tying everything in.
Exactly. So that they're over on this, in this corner, trying to facilitate this idea of the Space Brothers are our friends. They want peace. Mm-hmm. We can trust them. Mm-hmm. You know, go out to Stand Rock and wait for them to descend.
Yeah.
And so that was all
Nazi.
Yeah.
Huh.
Sort of trying to rope-a-dope the public into.
Well, they failed. What happened? Did they just quit? Yeah. They just got to the point they where they're like,
"Yeah,
this isn't working. We got to rethink this."
So that is how deep this goes. You know, in terms of like trying to tie everything together.
Okay, so in that pack. Within the context of that conspiracy, is there room to talk about dinosaurs living in the secret world under the Antarctic?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't come across that, okay. But I'm not super deep into it.
See, either. I've always thought that's really fascinating because I've heard these stories about like during what's his name? Who was the guy that went over there? The first, like the explorer who became obsessed with it and went over there. What's that guy's name?
I read it today. I can't think of it now. I can think of it as Shackleton, but it's not
Shackleton. Yeah. It's the other guy. I keep thinking of, Shia LaBeouf's grandpa in the first Transformers. And by the way, since I had no time to do research for this, or since I didn't do research for this episode, I was originally going to play a bit the entire episode where I was just reciting things from Transformers 1 that related back to Antarctica. But there was this theory that there was this story that like that guy, the explorer, went over there and found a giant ice cave, went down inside and found another world, a whole ecosystem under our own that was populated with dinosaurs. And you know, it's like the classic journey
lost
to the
world.
Center of the earth kind of stuff.
Lost
world. I always loved that idea, that concept. But that's why when you said that there's like there's an environment under the ice shelf, that's the first thing my mind goes to is like, well, there's got to be dinosaurs down there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is
where they are.
I mean, deep into it, then there is the allegation of ancient civilizations that are essentially buried in the ice. And that as the volcano becomes more and more active, what's going to happen is that some of that stuff will be unearthed. They'll be more visible.
Is there any truth to that? That volcano becoming more active, is that going to actually happen?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
I mean, there's melting going on in Antarctica in unprecedented amounts, but I'm not sure that that's tied to volcanic activity per se.
Okay.
That's a good question though. Yeah. So, you know, we mentioned the fake aliens, but there's supposed to be a real alien race as part of this. And they're the reptilians. Just
okay.
So you
oh,
know.
Oh, wow.
Those are the ones that have made common cause with the Nazis. As the story goes, the reptilians were there first, and they have the better caverns. They gave the Nazis sort of the second tier.
Oh, man.
Less crafted.
Classic reptilian.
I know.
Can't trust them.
But it's the reptilians and the Nazis that are the ones who are collaborating on spacecraft.
So does this get off into super anti-Semitic, weird racist territory too?
Well, it can.
Uh-oh.
And it's by far the most disturbing part of this. Whoever is serving in this role, it's disturbing enough, and that is slave labor.
Okay.
That is a part of
the conspiracy.
The conspiracy is that there's a historic use. I mean, it's a matter of historical record and on this point that the Nazis used slave labor on their projects. The conspiracy holds that they exported mass amounts of slaves to
Jews.
Jews.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone who they considered to be expendable.
Okay, but that's just a part of the. See, I was wondering if we got into like Ike territory, where like the reptilians are secretly the Jews, and
no, okay. I don't think so. I mean, that'd be extremely strange.
Yeah, well, Ike.
Yeah, Ike, right.
Ike's got the market cornered.
Yeah, I mean, I think where the what's being suggested here is that, you know, non-Aryan, whoever that may be. Mm-hmm. Are the ones who are being used as slave labor now in Antarctica. I mean, that continues to this day. Mm. And that is an attempt as well to, you know, mysterious disappearances, abductions, et cetera, leads back to that, you know, that there's an unending need for slave labor to still do whatever is being done down there. Yeah. And that's a potential place where they're being taken. And that's, I mean, slave labor is bad enough. And that sort of whitewashes it almost to make it sound like, you know, you're a chain gang breaking rocks. But what is really, when it says slave labor, that includes experimentation.
Yeah.
The likes of which was being conducted
in
the Holocaust and so forth. And that only continues with greater technology, and that you're, you know, human cloning is being attempted and all sorts of experimentation leading up to, you know, the death of those who are being experimented on. And that everything else about this theory to me is kind of
fun
in sort of a historical fiction sort of way.
Yeah.
But that part to me is really just disturbing and sad. If any bit of that's true, then it's, you know, it's a tragedy.
The Antarctica, you should go there, go visit. We think it's worth your time. Not to totally derail us, but while I'm thinking of this, if you're on Twitter, you should totally visit the Auschwitz Memorial on Twitter. I started following them maybe like a year ago, and it is the most tragic thing, and it'll ruin a good 20 minutes of every day, but it is totally worth doing just to remember some of the people. Yeah. And I haven't been to the Auschwitz Memorial. I went to the Holocaust Museum in Israel, which is one of the craziest experiences of my life, because we were there when the IDF was going through. When they're done, when a graduating class comes out of the military academy for IDF, they have to go to the Holocaust Memorial. And we were there with all the graduates, all the cadets that were like graduating from the, and for those that don't know, Israeli, you're in the military.
Yeah.
You're conscripted. You're conscripted into the military. Mm-hmm. So those kids, and one of the reasons they do that is so they know why, you know, like why they're in that position.
Yeah.
Not to get all, I don't think that's political. Someone's probably going to accuse me of being political. Mm. But anyway, you can also follow us on Twitter, but we're not as important as the Auschwitz Memorial. I don't even know what our Twitter handle is.
It's, well, it
Monsters.
Was at Monsters97FM.
Yeah, we might be changing
that. Might be getting a remodel.
We might be remodeling that. And we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can send us letters to monsteropolismail@gmail.com. Did you want to say anything to wrap up the Flat Earth, the Antarctica?
Well, yeah, I'll say that look in the near future at some time for a Antarctica Part 2.
Nice, yes.
Because
where Seth actually...
Well,
tries to learn something.
As weird as it sounds, I mean, we may be a quarter of the way down the rabbit hole at this point. It's just so strange. And I would like to get into this Salla book to see. Because the thing about it is that his writing is highly footnoted. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has sources.
So he's referencing.
Coming out all over the place, especially, you know, the things that might strike some as being sort of the boring parts of the book is where he footnotes all the things, you know, that are a matter of public record where corporations have invested heavily in something going on in Antarctica. So at the very least, there's a paper trail that's there, that there's some reason why corporations are interested. And that's interesting in and of itself, I think. Right. So listen and be on guard for more.
Beware.
South Pole.
We're coming for you.
Goings on.